conversation because of a revelation that penetrated into the reality of his heart. He could have argued with me about theology, but he could not argue with the word of the Lord that penetrated and revealed the secrets of his heart. We've seen this over and over in evangelism. But guys, in every area that God wants us to minister in, Kim was telling you last night about a church in London that we base out of. And you were talking about that first week that we were there and the physical wind of the Holy Spirit blew in. And these things are going on. So we're preaching in this church a few years ago. And it's a big building. It had been a theater in the 1920s. Seats about 1,500 people now. And so Kim gets up to sing a song. And as she's getting ready to sing, she has a word of knowledge. And she said, there's someone here, you fell out of your doorway, you injured your hip, and God wants to heal you. Who is that? Well, this British lady about halfway back, she stands up and she says, that's me. She hobbles up to the front on a walker. As she gets to the front, we lay hands on her in Jesus' name. She lets out a scream and throws the walker aside and starts running around the building, healed by the power of God. She gets back up to the front. We lay hands on her. She falls under the power of the Spirit. About that time, a guy around 30 years old in the back of the building runs from the back to the front. He grabs me and starts shaking me. And he said, I'm scared. I said, I'm scared too. He said, that woman on the floor, she's my next door neighbor. I said, what do you mean? He said, look, I don't go to church. I don't believe in God. This building doesn't look like a church because, again, it's an old theater. He said, I was walking by this building and felt compelled to come into the building. I walked in the back when that woman, talking about Kim, started talking about a woman who fell out of her doorway. He said, I'm the next door neighbor of this woman. We don't even live near this building. He said, when she fell out of her doorway, I was the one that heard her cry for help and went to help her up. And he said, there's no way you could have known what happened except for God. But I don't know this God. And we stopped the service, gave him the gospel. His hands went in the air, tears came down his face, and he gave his life to Jesus. Because he'd heard the revelation of the Spirit of God and saw the power of God demonstrated. We've seen it with healing. We've seen it with salvation. We've seen it with deliverance. We've seen where the power of God came. We were in Brazil, Kim and I were in the 1980s. We're doing a service. And the town demoniac came into the service and he began screeching and just, he was out of his mind. And as we began praying for God to set him free, Kim began having a vision. And she saw, and I don't want to freak people out, but she saw, what looked like a bat-like demon with his talons stuck in the man's head, et cetera. And so I started praying against the spirit of insanity. And she watches an angel in a vision. An angel came with a sword, began to chase that thing off and let go. And so I just prayed as Kim was seeing it. I prayed, God, release your angels and beat back the spirit of insanity. And then she watched in a vision as a white sheet or blanket descended on him, which symbolized peace, security. And we began to pray for the peace of God to descend upon his heart and mind. The man was set free, came into his right mind, and gave his life to Jesus. Not because we went through some rigmarole of how to cast out devils. And I'm not saying it's wrong to learn principles. But we were listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so all of these things are to help us understand that we need the voice of God. To do ministry effectively, we need the voice of God. To lead people to Jesus, we need the voice of God. But guys, how many of you need to hear God's voice and how to be a parent? How to be a spouse? How to be an employee or an employer? You see, that is where the rubber meets the road, because we can see it in church, but we've got to have the voice of the Lord in regular life. And so that's why our job in prophetic ministry is not just to give you words. It's to help you understand and hunger after and desire to hear God's voice for yourselves. And God wants us to see beyond even just our own individual lives and to see God's impact on a city and a nation. In the Bible, there were times that kings would call on the prophets and say, is there not a prophet of God? I believe the time is coming, and it is in some areas right now of the world, but the time's coming, I believe when things are going to get so desperate, politically, financially, militarily, culturally, in nations of the earth and cities of the earth, that leaders are not going to be calling out who has the next poll, who has interviewed enough people to tell me which way the wind is blowing so I can change my opinion to satisfy the most people and get reelected. But they're going to say, who has the voice of the Lord? Where is the prophetic church of God? And at that point, God's looking for a people that are willing to die to their own opinion. How many of you Pennsylvanians and whoever else you are have opinions? When I was 23 years old, I had a lot of opinions. I had my BA in Bible, and somebody told me it was my bad attitude in Bible. I was a know-it-all. God spoke to me when I was 23, and he said, Russ, I don't care about your opinion. And that shocked me. I'm a Bible college graduate ordained with the Assemblies of God. The Lord said, big deal. See, I found this. God is not interested in my opinion, but my obedience. If we're going to be a prophetic church speaking to the city and the nation, the city doesn't need your opinion. Again, let me get to meddling a little bit. I'm a 55-year-old white man, and I have opinions, some of it based probably on my gender, my experience. And some of you are not 55-year-old white men, and you have opinions based on what you've walked through and the reality of things. We need to have those conversations, correct? But when it comes to the end of the matter, you've had your say, I've had my say. It doesn't matter what your skin color and your background and your experience or my experience. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God says. Does that make sense? We need to have the conversation, but at the end of the day, the conversation is what God says, not what I think and not my offense. That's why the church has become so silent and the culture wars going on around us, because we're still fighting to have our opinion heard. You've heard it before, dead men have no rights. If we're dead to sin, then we aren't worried about somebody trampling our rights and offending us. So if we're going to be a prophetic people, we've got to get beyond that. And then I believe God's going to give us an authority to speak into city, into culture, into the nation, about things. I'm going to just unfold a couple of things, and then we're going to move on and close out and have a time of ministry. But we believe that God wants to speak into governmental realms, and we've seen it in small places where God has allowed us to speak. The woman that Kim was telling you about that took her to North Carolina, if it's being taped, I want to be careful here. But because of that woman's husband, who's the CEO of a military endeavor, he had top secret clearance, et cetera, and for several years they had us in their home, and they would bring admirals and generals and people from the D.C. area to their home in Florida for us to prophesy to. And I understand it's not because we're big, it's not because we know a lot of people and we don't have that avenue any longer. But you know what? There are times that God's going to put people, not just quote-unquote prophets, but people of God. You know, Kim and I joke. I tell Kim, I'm the head of this home. You know what her response is? I'm the neck that turns the head. You may not be the decision maker in your city, but you can be the influencer of the decision maker in your city. You can be the neck that turns the head. And that's the voice of the Lord coming through you. One quick example of that, in Hampton, Virginia, where we live several years ago, the top detective in Virginia attended our church, as well as different people in the police department. Two murders happened in Hampton that they were not being able to solve. The police dispatcher in our church called Kim and I and two intercessors in the city that were known for hearing God. And so asked us to pray. On one of the murders, God didn't show anything. But on one of the murders, God spoke, not to Kim and I, but one of the intercessors. And in her experience, the vision, as she was praying, she saw where the body had been hidden of the woman that was murdered and what kind of vehicle had been used. The police detective, the woman that had the vision, told the dispatcher told the detective. The detective didn't go to the suspect and say, God said. He just said, here's where you hid the body. Here's what your vehicle looked like. He confessed. Not only did a prophetic word solve a crime, but you know what happened? For 2 months. It ended after 2 months. There's a long story behind that I won't go into. But for 2 months, the police department let us put prophetic intercessors on ride-alongs with the police. The vision was, I don't want to solve a crime by a prophecy. Why not prevent crime? Why not prophetic intercessors that can be trusted to keep silent except for when God speaks? That's a whole difficult thing right there in itself. Intercessors being quiet and prophetic people being quiet. But can you imagine if God could say, here's where something's about to happen, go prevent it? Guys, I want you to think big about what God can do in a city and a nation. But ultimately, God's looking for people he can trust. The gifting comes because God just gives gifts, not because we earn the gift, but because he loves people we can minister to. But the authority that's going to be released to shake cities and nations is going to come because we have his heart. 1 Corinthians 12 lists the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us how to use prophecy to encourage, comfort, edify, build up. But 1 Corinthians 13, sandwiched right in the middle, tells us the motivation, and that's love. Guys, if we hate our city instead of love our city, how can God entrust us with his word? If we hate the people opposed to our politics, opposed to our seeming economic advancement, if we hate them, how can we love them enough to give them the word of the Lord? See, somewhere God's got to break us with his heart. And several years ago, I was in New York City with a ministry called Teen Challenge, a two-week outreach, and we were preaching on the streets, 200 of us. And during one of these street meetings, a demonized woman came to the front. I wasn't a leader. I was in my early to mid-20s. Wasn't one of the leaders. I was just one of the team. And a demonized woman came to the front of the platform where the preacher was preaching, and she began to mock the crucifixion. She splayed herself out like Jesus on the cross, and then she just began to get very vulgar. And it didn't take a lot of discernment to know you were dealing with a demon. And so what happened is about 50 of us team members, we gathered around her and started trying to cast the demons out. I don't claim to be an expert in deliverance, but I started casting demons out at 17 years old. It's just normal Christianity. But what happened is this. People were screaming at the demon and the woman, and she was getting up in the face of the team, and she was screaming back. She was spitting, and the team members were just, screaming back. And I'm watching all this unfold. And the Holy Spirit asked me a question. He made an observation, asked a question. He said, Russ, look at the people. They're angry at the devil, but where's their love for the woman? And it helped me to understand something early on. I can be angry about sin. I can be angry about what the devil is doing to our nation and to our city. I can be angry about the spots of Reading, Pennsylvania, that are under the authority and the destruction of the enemy. But if I don't love the people who are in bondage, then I don't have the authority of the Lord. So somewhere in being a prophetic people, you can cast out devils, you can heal the sick, you can raise the dead. But 1 Corinthians 13 says, you can have faith to move mountains, you can understand mysteries, but without love, it's empty. If we're going to be a prophetic people, it means we need to have his heart. Now guys, we can have his heart, we can have the gift, but if we don't put it into practice, it's worthless. It's time that, have you ever read these stories? And I close with an idea or two. Have you ever read these stories about somebody that lives like a miser, a poor person, homeless, and yet somewhere it's found that they have a whole stash of money, but they don't trust the banks, and so they stick it in a mattress somewhere or dig a hole and hide it? And they live in poverty where they have enough money to take care of everything. God has put riches in you. The riches of his spirit, the riches of his gifts, the riches of his call. But it's up to you and I to dig that out and start putting it into practice. And so tonight, what we want to pray is, God, give us your heart. Kim and Shekinah and I pray on nearly every ministry occasion, God, give us your heart for the people. During worship, I was standing over here enjoying the presence of God, the worship, but I began praying. You know what? And we prayed it yesterday as well, but I began praying specifically for you. Said, God, let me not be distracted thinking about this and this and this, but God, give me your heart for every individual in this place. It's not because I'm up here and you're down here. No, it's because I have the honor, the privilege, and the responsibility of ministering tonight. And I don't want to minister tonight out of a gift. I don't want to minister tonight because it's my job. I want to minister tonight because of his heart. But I don't want to do that just in professional ministry. I want to live that way. So tonight we want to say, God, give us your heart. Who are the ones that God sent you to? Who are the ones that can influence culture? Who are the down and out and the up and out that God has put in your path? God, help me to see them through your eyes. Help me to feel the passion you feel. And then God, out of your love, gift me with the voice of the Lord. Because you know what? You may not be a prophet. You may not have the gift of prophecy, but you can hear his voice. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're a sheep of his pasture. You already belong. And if you've ever watched or studied all about sheep, you're going to have many flock of sheep in a pasture and many shepherds. And even with all the bleating of the sheep and all the voices of the other shepherds, sheep can recognize the voice of their shepherd. Guys, there's a lot of noise and distraction in the world, isn't there? There are a lot of people saying, follow me, I have the way. I can guarantee you, you can hear the voice of Jesus in the midst of all that cacophony, in the midst of all of that distraction. So number one tonight, God, give me your heart. Number two, God, release your voice. Open my ears to hear and my eyes to see. And number three, God, show me my sphere of influence for the kingdom of God. Stand to your feet with me if you would. Kim and Shekinah, would you come join me for a moment, please? Father, we thank you. Lord, we know there are times for, Lord, motivational preaching. God, there are times for just didactic teaching. God, there are times, Lord, for a mixture of both, Lord, that we learn as well as are motivated. And Holy Spirit, we pray that tonight, God, there even that phrase that we use sometimes, more is caught than taught. Lord, let us not just get focused in the things we're trying to learn, but may we press into the spirit of prophecy himself, who is the Holy Spirit. And that anointing, that mantle of revelation would come upon us. God, simply, may we not confuse it, may we not make it religious, but God, on the very most simple plane, may every person in this room hear the voice of God saying, I love you. Saying, I'm calling you to be my child, my son, my daughter through the blood of Jesus. If we've surrendered to Christ, may we hear our Father saying, son, daughter, you're welcome, you're cherished, you're treasured, you're celebrated in the Father's house. If someone tonight doesn't know you, Father, if they've not come through repentance at the cross of Jesus, may they hear the voice of the Holy Spirit drawing them and say, today is your day. Tonight is the night of forgiveness and new life and peace and joy and eternal life. And then God, tonight, would you release a mantle of revelation? God, that every one of us would have ears to hear and eyes to see. So we thank you. Would you do this with me before we minister in these altars? Would you lift your hands up to the Lord if you would with me? And would you just ask in your own way for the Father to begin speaking to you? Would you tell the Father, tell Jesus in your own way that you want to hear his voice? that you love him. You see, because even your intimacy with Jesus, even your love relationship with God is based on hearing his voice. Because he wants to whisper in the ear of your spirit and say to you, you are my beloved, you are treasured, you are cherished. Not because we do the right thing all the time, but because we've come through Jesus Christ, we belong to him. And the Father wants you to hear that whisper of the Holy Spirit in your ear. So God, come. Let us hear the voice of the Lord. And God, we thank you. Every one of us can hear your voice, but Lord, there are those among us. God, some are gifted more in evangelism than others. Some are gifted in worship more than others. Some are gifted in helps more than others. Lord, some are gifted in business more than others. Some are gifted in art more than others. God, there are some that are gifted in the prophetic. They're gifted in hearing your voice. And God, while we ask that across the church and across, Lord, the gathering here tonight, there would be the release of revelation, we pray specifically for those that have a call or a desire, Lord, a burning desire to hear the voice of God. Lord, would you raise up the spirit of prophecy in this church and in this city, that Jesus may be revealed. For your glory and honor, Jesus. I want you to look this way with me just for a moment. Let me ask it a